Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, cloudy, windy, colder. High only around 48. Kenosha right now is at 38 degrees. It's 36 in Burlington. In Milwaukee, 40 and 39 in Racine. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department's investigating some kind of an assault and or battery scenario from early this morning, from which a woman was taken to Frederick Hospital by Fight for Life, and now there may be a second victim connected to this at a local hospital. The address listed in the call around 37th Avenue and 18th Street, also bringing Summers Rescue to the scene. It's on the city of Kenosha's northwest border with the village. City fire crews setting up a landing zone at Bradford High School for the helicopter to come get that one victim. Fire engulfed a car not far from a garage and a home in the 6700 block of 103rd Avenue in Kenosha early this morning. Same 911 caller telling dispatch just a few minutes later about explosions with the fire. The first city unit on the scene confirmed intense flames. It led to a response that included protecting those two structures. A lot going on these days with the Racine Fire Department, ranging from retirements and a new candidates list to a pending labor agreement, plans for a new Southside station, fairly new home visitation program, and there's an accreditation process underway. Fire Chief Steve Hansen talking about a lot of that at last night's budget review process.
It's a process that's going to take us almost 2 years to complete, and what it is it's an internal hard look at the Racine Fire Department. The services we provide, how we provide those services to the community, the costs that are involved, the equipment that we use, the equipment that we might need. This is being done by a select group of firefighters that are working on this project. However, I would point out that everybody in the department is contributing to this.
The chief said that the proposed future fire station at Durand and South Memorial would help to deal with them being slowed down on responses by the coal trains going to and from the Oak Creek Power Station. Mobile integrated health care, that is something Chief Hansen explained, is basically follow-up care to them for previously transported patients so as to try to reduce repeat calls for service.
We look at people that are calling the rescue squad all the time, and working with the hospitals, we have started doing home visits with our paramedics and EMTs. So when we have an issue with a patient, we'll go out, the hospital lets us know, we go out and we work with that patient to try and reduce those admissions. In the 100 or so patients we've been working with, we've had almost a 50% reduction in calls for the rescue squad.
The public hearing for Racine's 2018 proposed budget is next Monday, 6 o'clock at City Hall. Then there's going to be more budget review. A conditional use permit amendment request from Sam and Lori Azarian of Azarian Wrecking and Sam Cement is all about a trailer at 1535 High Street. Their address is being used for office space. City planning staff says it doesn't conform to design standards and would have to be removed after 6 months to get the permit. At the City Plan Commission meeting, Sam Azarian first offered some verbal shots at the city's handling of their forced move from the Machinery Row site, and then seeming lack of flexibility regarding the trailer that he said nobody can see from the street and was a budgetary decision to begin with.
I ended up not really wanting to buy this building, paid $50,000 more than what I wanted to, and they said I had to be out by a certain date. Well, then we ended up buying this building. Had no office space, anything. We didn't have enough money to put offices in it. And this trailer came along. I was looking on line for trailer, and I ended up finding a good deal out of Econo-Walk, so we moved it there.
Lead city planner Matt Sadowski pointed out the trailer was put there before the requested amendment was made, and that is the only issue of contention.
For the city, we have to be selfish. Does that maximize the value of the property for us so that we can have sufficient taxes and value in the city to provide the services that the community needs? And so if we continue to get buildings that are moved in on a trailer, that doesn't maximize the value of the city's assets, the assets being the built environment that we have. So that is our concern, too.
A trailer at nearby Metzger Steel, that was there before the city's design standards were in place. But Azarian claimed that's what led him to believe it was okay to put a trailer at his site. The conditional use deferred so that the Azarians can come back to the city in 6 weeks with a proposal that might deal with that trailer. It's a resolution that allows the limited jurisdictional transfer of several county and Mount Pleasant Village roads to the state. This to allow those roadways to be reconstructed and serve the Foxconn development. That was okayed by the Racine County Board last night. Julie Anderson is Director of Public Works and Development Services, says it's a good example of cooperation between all sides. Under the agreement, the DOT assumes jurisdiction over and pays for the needed improvements. It also allows, she said, for better coordination between Foxconn-related projects and other local road projects.
The benefits include enhanced construction staging and coordination between IH-94 North-South Mega Project and state and local development roadway improvements. Also, consistent contract oversight and management of multiple and overlapping projects. Facilitation of close coordination with Foxconn development interface requires close coordination to ensure safe and efficient traffic flow and site access.
Once the road projects are done, the jurisdiction of the roadways reverts back to the county and to the village. The board approving the agreement unanimously. The Mount Pleasant Village Board okayed the agreement at their meeting earlier this week. And a trial date has now been set for the Kenosha teenager accused of murdering another teen and leaving her body along a Mount Pleasant roadway. 19-year-old Daniel Tate accused of strangling 17-year-old Olivia McKay on a Kenosha beach in July. Her body found along Louis Sorensen Road by some residents of the area. Tate charged with first-degree intentional homicide, hiding a corpse, and operating a motor vehicle without owner consent. Kenosha Judge Bruce Schrader scheduling trial for Tate May 21st next year, a status conference in late January. 17-year-old Jamari Cook also facing charges regarding hiding the corpse and the vehicle theft. According to court documents, he told police he helped to put the victim's body into her car, which Tate proceeded to then drive around. His trial has now been scheduled also for next May. The bond rating company Standard & Poor's reduced the Racine Water Utilities rating to match the city's for lack of significant community growth the past three decades, along with some other financial factors, while future borrowing or bonding by the utility was also put at risk unless a rate case was submitted to the Public Service Commission. That reality explained to aldermen during the budget review by utility general manager Keith Haas. He said the 7-10% water rate increase okayed by the PSC will mean another $4.50 per quarter on his bill at home. Foxconn came up in the discussion, Haas saying that would require about $100 million worth of water mains to be paid for, mostly through the Mount Pleasant Tax Incremental District on that project.
They look to be operational in the year 2021. Fully operational that year. In order to get a rate case that reflects that new customer, you have to have a full year of rates and usage under that. So we would apply for a rate increase in 2022 that might incorporate some millions of gallons of water that could be used there, and we would see a new rate case in 2023, about 5 years from now.
He acknowledged the water rates could drop with Foxconn, but looming on the horizon to wipe out any savings, EPA mandates on replacing lead pipes. Wastewater rates in general going to be up about 2%, another 75 cents per quarter on his bill at home. Foxconn service requirement, according to Haas, open at this point, but could be tied to Mount Pleasant's capacity level, and the potential is there for facilities expansion.
So if they exhausted their available capacity, they would have to pay for a new plant expansion. Caledonia has already inquired me to exercise a query of all the parties of the sewer agreement to see if anybody wants capacity. That 90-day period will expire in mid-November. Currently, I have no responses from anyone. So the needs of the community and the growth of the community will likely determine if we need a wastewater plant expansion.
Foxconn also coming up in budget review for transportation with the city's alderman. That's not included, though, to this point anyway, regarding future planning on the bus system. Mark Yaniak, used to be Racine County's Corporation Counsel, had that job for about 25 years, was in that office. Then he was the administrator in the village of Sturtevant. Then he went over to become the village administrator in Caledonia. Now he's the administrator in the village of Union Grove. 6-1, the Union Grove board voting to hire him this week. 5-year contract okayed for the Mount Pleasant Village Board to Assessor Dan McHugh. He's going to begin a comprehensive reevaluation of all the village's property beginning next year. New longer contract, he says, will include a higher level of service than has been provided in the previous years.
For the next 5 years, we're looking at maintaining full value assessments. We're going to be doing many more inspections. Aside from any new construction, we're going to go back and try to review and inspect as many properties as we can throughout the village over the next 5 years. I've already contacted potential additional staff members.
McHugh's contract calling for a payment of $165,000 in the first year, up to $175,000 by the fifth year. Contract approved unanimously. And the possibility of developing a skate park in Sturtevant is being researched by one of the village trustees. Carrie Harbuck at the continual committee meeting says she's been considering this idea for a couple of years, wanted to plant the seed, in her words, with her fellow board members. Says she believes that East Park might be a good location.
So I've watched East Park for the last year or so, and it's, you know, it's not a busy park. It's rarely used. I think it would be a really cool idea. But then I also started looking at the expenses.
Meanwhile, she said she found the average price for building such a park about $45 a square foot, but she may have found something and someone who might do it for a little bit less. The other trustees interested, they said. Harbuck said that she'd be coming back to them with more information about a potential skate park and some of the dollar amounts and some of the other figures. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscast there in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, that's for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.